Wessels, Philip. Auckland, New Zealand, March 17, 1893. Mr. Wessels, Claremont, Cape Colony, South Africa. Dear Brother, the steamer Klansman arrived here this morning about 6 o'clock, and we transferred our goods to the Wairarapa steamer, which leaves 2 p.m. for Napier, where we hold our conference and camp meeting. We feel deeply interested in your letter. I am glad that you have written me so fully so that I can respond, for I feel the tenderest interest in your case. Your dangers have been laid before me. I know that you do not want to injure the work or the precious cause of present truth. Your safety is in being led only by the Heavenly Shepherd, who says, "My sheep hear my voice and follow me." John 10, verse 27. If you will closely examine your own heart and be sure that your feet are walking in safe paths, if you are carefully studying the way, the truth, and the life, and if you are a doer of the words of Christ, then you can be a power of influence for good. But, my brother, I feel sad when you make so free to complain of and accuse others. If we allow ourselves to engage in this kind of work, we shall not only meet with great loss to our own souls, but we place stones of stumbling in the pathway of others. You educate others to be suspicious and jealous and complaining and fault-finding. And although you may honestly suppose you are telling the truth, and therefore you are at liberty to speak the truth at all times, you do not consider the tenor of your work and the objectionable kind of seed you are sowing. If anyone left the impression on your mind that there was no tempting devil in Battle Creek, that there were no tares among the wheat, then you have received impressions that you were not warranted to entertain while you live in probationary time. If you did receive much good that would be of great benefit to you in this life and in the future immortal life, if you properly heeded the words of Christ, "Take heed how you hear," you need not become confused. Luke 8, verse 18. Whenever there were wrongs developed before your eyes, were there not falling upon your ears the plain, decided testimony of the truth in the lessons of Jesus Christ? And were there not in the very things that were transpiring before you an educating school of the highest advantage to you, if you were daily looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith? You had many objectionable things in phases of speech, in character, in action acted before you. But have you not, in reading the testimonies which God has given to His people in reproof, in warnings, seen that the Lord does not let these things go without a plain statement in regard to the right way, and to reveal the true and genuine from the spurious and erroneous? This was the very education which would prove of decided advantage to you, for when you should return to Africa, you would have to meet the very same objectionable things you saw in America. You will see, wherever you go, that the church militant is not the church triumphant. Just as long as Satan has power to work upon human minds, and these minds are not barricaded with the Holy Spirit of God, which leads into all truth, there will be stern and earnest conflict, good against evil, and evil against good among those who claim to be children of God. The characters of all are developed by the relation existing between man and God, and between man and his fellow man. The Holy Scriptures supply us all with practical lessons for the life and conduct of all in minute particulars, which lessons are in a large measure ignored and disregarded. The Lord has given special testimonies, not as a new revelation, but to set before individual minds the plain lessons He has given to men in His Word. And these lessons are to present the right and correct the error, that every soul shall be left without excuse. If they shall contemplate and fasten their mind's eye upon the error, and grieve, and look and complain of the fact of the existing error, and lose precious time and opportunities to store the mind with truth, and pure and holy and correct practices that are plainly set forth in contradiction to error, then they will become vacillating. Everyone who loves God and who will learn in His school His meekness and His lowliness, which is humility of mind, will find rest from all turmoil and confusion and strife of tongues. But if they do not learn of Jesus, if they do not take the yoke of Christ upon their necks in the place of manufacturing yokes and burdens for themselves which chafe and gall the neck, soul, then the result will be dissatisfaction, complaining, fault-finding, and dwelling upon the imperfections of others so earnestly and constantly that they do not behold and see and appreciate the good, the virtues, the desirable, and store their own memories hall with pictures that may be looked upon that are pure and lovely and of good report. The Apostle exhorts, "Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there by any praise, think on these things." Philippians 4, verse 8. If by beholding we become changed into the same likeness, then let us turn our eyes away from beholding the imperfections of those who are in the church, but who have not the likeness of Christ, lest by beholding these, we become assimilated to their likeness in character. We shall not be responsible for the virtues of pure and undefiled religion that these ought to possess in harmony with their profession, and do not. Let us be thankful to God that it is our privilege to look upon the characters of the devoted Christians who are doers of the Word, and who bear in their life and in their characters the image of the divine. And thank God you have in Christ a perfect copy to imitate. You are without excuse if you do not study in the Word of God the detailed instructions illustrating the inseparable identity between Christian doctrine and Christian practice. And every lesson given by Christ shows the true from the false, and there need be no hesitation experienced in endeavoring upon all occasions to be charmed with the pure and heavenly, to look upon the good, the light, the brightness brought before our senses to charm the human agent with a most earnest desire to be like the perfect model. And thank God that they can distinguish the pure and the holy from the impure and the unholy, and can, by beholding and copying the perfect model, present to the world a Christ-like likeness in character, such as we so much desired others to possess, and which was a great perplexity to us that they did not express in their religious life. A clear principle will guide every sincere lover, of his own way, of his own ideas, of his own opinions. No, but of that truth and wisdom which cometh down from above, which is first pure, and then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruit. James 3, verse 17. Here in this world, amid questions of vital consequence which need expediency, we might become hopelessly perplexed, as the devil wants us to be, if we look upon these perplexing things and talk of them, and be discouraged over them. We may kill the precious plant of love in our own soul by making so much over the love we think should be expressed by others with whom we are brought in contact. If we know and appreciate individually the warmth of affection and love which Christ represented in his human life, then let us give to the world the Christ-likeness in our characters, and fear to dwell in beholding and talking of the great mistakes some are making who appear almost destitute of the love which should be expressed in human characters. Spend as little time over this objectionable part of the question as possible, fearing that you will not give due attention in time and study to the wonderful, precious truths that have come from human lips that have been touched with a live coal from off the altar. Praise God for the light which hath been sown for the righteous, and the gladness for the upright in heart. Talk of the many things that were brought before your mind that were as a feast of fat things. Talk of the instruction which was as solid timber to be brought into the character building. The highest wisdom and the duties of our religious faith must harmonize. Talk more of Jesus and less of your trials and disappointments. My brother, you cannot make an unreal world of your own, full of perfection, neither an ideal church where Satan is no longer the powerful tempter. The wisdom from above is a real working power for a fallen world, and a church where the wheat and tares both grow together until the harvest. The tares are not to be rooted up according to human wisdom, lest they may be under the suggestion of Satan, in possession of an influence which will destroy the wheat, supposing it to be tares. The wisdom of the true worker can come to the meek, humble, and lowly soul, who will not destroy, but will build up. This will be a consecrated, human agency, cooperating with the divine intelligences, free from all selfishness, partiality, guile, and hypocrisies, and those sanctified human agencies will pervade and sanctify every branch of human action in the vineyard of the Lord, from the least to the most solemn exercises of religious devotion. None need to err, none need to lose the golden moments of time in their short life's history, weighing human imperfections of professed Christians. Not one of us has any time to do this. The Lord has not placed line and plumb in human hands to measure character. If we individually know the characters Christians shall develop, say, as you think you see actions inconsistent with Christian profession of character, I know that it is not Christ-like. I will firmly resist the enemy in his temptations in these things, that I shall not make Christ ashamed of me. I will study more earnestly the character of Christ, who was without one imperfection, one spot, one stain, without one particle of selfishness, who lived not to please and glorify himself. I shall not copy these defective characters, and the mistakes I see in them shall not make me like them, but lead me to turn from them to the precious Savior and be like him. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians 2, verse 5. Many have left foreign countries to obtain an education and experience by coming to America. Some have kept steadily to the point to not become confused because they found a Judas among the disciples. There were disciples who were true and sincere, and whom were the beloved of God, whose lips uttered words of wisdom, whose hearts were humble, who were walking in the light as Christ is in the light. These learners could not be turned aside from their purpose, nor become discouraged. They were to learn the truth and study how they were to be sanctified through the truth, and lay up in the storehouse of the mind and soul the broad, essential truth of vital importance, forming in doctrines one string of precious jewels. The person and work of Christ is the golden thread which pervades and links them all together, constituting one complete system of truth. The learner must walk in all humility of mind, putting self under discipline to God. Christ is the single thread and living center of truth, and all meet together in one grand whole, the salvation of the soul by faith in Christ Jesus. And that faith will be evidenced in the Christ-like character and perfect obedience to all his requirements. Christ, in his wisdom which finite minds cannot comprehend, thought best to accept of Judas, although he knew his imperfections of character. He accepted him notwithstanding. John was not perfect. Peter denied his Lord, and yet all these constituted the Christian church, that all these learners of Jesus might, through his instruction, learn of Jesus what constituted a perfect Christian character. The business of every Christian is to study the character of Christ. The lessons of Christ did not always harmonize with the human reasoning of his disciples. There was an immense contrast between the truth reaching to heaven and compassing eternity, and the little common things of temporal, earthly existence. The world's Redeemer was ever seeking to carry the mind from the earthly to the heavenly. The disciples were constantly learners of Christ, and these sacred lessons were molding their characters, with the exception of Judas. He was apparently righteous, while cultivating his accusing powers to condemn others. He had come to Christ as did the young man asking what he should do that he might have eternal life. And Christ said, "Keep the commandments." He responded, "All these have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" Matthew 19, verse 17, 20. Jesus touched the plague spot of his heart, which was selfishness and covetousness. "Go," said Christ, "and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." Verse 21. Did he do this? No, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. If Judas had asked, "What lack I yet?" Jesus would have answered, "Keep the commandments," for Judas was selfish, covetous, and a thief, yet he was numbered with the disciples. Now, my brother, because he was defective in character and did not practice the words of Christ, he braced his soul against truth and obedience and exercised himself in criticizing and condemning others. His own soul was neglected. His own hereditary and natural traits of character were cherished and strengthened by cultivation, until he sold his Lord for 30 pieces of silver. Now, my much respected brother, entreat and encourage souls to look to Jesus. Tell everyone who you think is in danger not to neglect his own soul's eternal healthfulness by looking upon the diseased souls of others, talking of their uncomeliness. Our spirit does not become more and more like the spirit of Christ, but assimilates itself to the one we are beholding. The same love of self, the same indulgence of self-will, the same hastiness of spirit, the same petulance of temper, the same sensitiveness and pride of self-opinion, the same unwillingness to receive counsel, the same unsanctified, independent judgment, as if they had not Christ as their pattern and exemplar. Oh, how much we need to guard against Satan's devices! The Lord inspired the Apostle Paul to write 1 Corinthians 10. The besetting sins are enumerated of that chosen people, and the fact it plainly stated that with many of his chosen people God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. The sins were enumerated that grieved the Spirit of God, and the statement is made, "Now these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say." Verses 11 to 15. It is no uncommon thing you meet in Battle Creek, Michigan, any place you go where there is a large church, where important interests are at stake, as in Battle Creek, you will see the deep plottings of Satan. This should not lead you to dwell upon the imperfections of those who yield to his temptations. Would it not be more pleasing to God to look upon the contrast in character and see that there are many souls who are serving God and honoring him with their ability of means and talents of intellect? Should you not dwell upon the miracle-working power of God, who can transform a poor, degraded sinner, full of moral pollution, to become like Christ in character? A. Partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. My brother, you are a part of the great web of humanity. We become changed into the same image of that we continue to dwell upon. Then open your heart to things that are true and lovely and of good report. My brother, let into your heart the bright beams of the sun of righteousness. Do not allow the root of bitterness to be cherished and spring up whereby many may be defiled. My dear brother, all, even the most unfavorable matters which were revealed in Battle Creek, should not have caused you to feel perplexed or discouraged, for everything concerning yourself and your experience was after the Lord's purpose to help you to look to Him in faith and trust in Him, and in no case put trust in man or make flesh your arm. You learned, my dear brother, what humanity is, even among professed Christians, if said persons are not closely connected with God. What is your lesson? Is it to learn to say, "I will be weak as the weakest of these poor souls who are erring"? I observe, you may say, that it requires grace and strength from Christ to submissively receive counsel and admonition and reproof from the word of the Lord through His servants. You should have learned that it demands from the human agent a great exercise of true strength and humbleness of mind to receive advice as a true learner in the school of Christ from men, human agents of experience. The unaffected humility of the mind of the true Christian is taught by the Holy Spirit, and self-confidence, if it is not dead in us, will press itself to the front and develop. You, my dear brother, will be in danger of viewing things from your own standpoint. But please bear in mind that one man's mind and one man's judgment is not to rule in important decisions. There needs to be a free unfolding to other men's minds, that all our plans may be viewed and sifted. The Lord will lay great responsibilities upon men in these last days, and it is of great importance that we should want to know how our plans are to appear when sized up by other men's opinions and by the eyes of the mind. Especially is there the danger of influences that will divert the mind from the great object to be attained. Disputes and difficulties will arise among believers and relations. In council, the feelings will be enlisted to reveal impartiality for our relatives or special favorites. Bear in mind that God is no respecter of persons. Acts 10, verse 34. I speak to you in all tenderness, for I have great love for you and your family. The work that God has given me is to warn and exhort, entreat and reprove. I am not to cease this work in behalf of any soul while there is a gleam of hope. The word spoken may indeed give pain, but the oil of grace should be generously mingled, and the softening, subduing influence of the grace of Christ will not only cause reproof to be given in love, but it wounds only that it may heal. That the words the Lord gives me to speak will touch pride, I cannot deny, or prevent its touching personal wishes. You may feel that you are all right, and you may become spiritually deluded and see not the errors which lead to one course of conduct which is wrong. We are to admonish one another the more carefully and faithfully as we see the end is nigh. This is friendship and brotherhood which amounts to some good purpose. If the watching for souls as they that must give an account does not lead to faithfulness and earnest prayer for one another, tell me what Christian fellowship means. If these faithful offices are not brought into practical lives of the believers, then the highest benefit of friendship and brotherhood is lost. It is no longer the friendship and association of the Bible. It is no longer the practical blessing that the Lord designs through association. We shall consider the example of Paul in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 4. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you with many tears, not that ye should be grieved, but that ye might know the love which I have, more abundantly unto you. And let, it is urging its entrance, the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord. Colossians 3, verse 15. My brother, will you please to consider whether you are standing in the right relation toward God? The Lord is testing and proving you. While you are cherishing a spirit of distrust and want of confidence in your brethren, you make your own soul very unhappy, for you feel that you have no assurance of anything, and unbelief takes the place of faith. While the chosen servants of God plead for His divine help, they must not tenderly cherish sensitiveness and jealousies, which are not rare attributes we have to meet and that the enemy will tempt individuals to entertain. While the true laborers together with God should have wisdom from above, and the oil of grace mingled with all their labors, and be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves, avoiding giving offense or causing pain of heart to anyone, yet if they bear the burden of the work, they must admonish one another. And not one who claims to believe the truth which sanctifies the soul should take offense easily. It is essential that while the church militant is not the church triumphant, it is essential that we walk by faith and not by sight. We are exposed to temptations, and a wily foe is upon our track. We must guard self with ceaseless vigilance, lest our feet shall stray from the path that is cast up for the ransomed of the Lord to walk in. Unless the soul is garrisoned with the truth revealed in the Word of God, selfishness and sensitive pride is brought into activity, and will take offense readily, and lead us to think that we can certainly walk alone in our own independent judgment. The spirit has been wrong because it has a morbid impression that our brethren have not placed a proper estimate upon us, and given due weight to all our ideas and plans, when long experience has taught them caution, and that it will not be for the healthful working of the cause to act upon these ideas presented. The faithful burden-bearers in the work have had all these difficulties to encounter in dealing with human minds, over and over again. If our Master Jesus Christ was unkindly judged of those who ought to have been wise to discern His divine wisdom, what can we expect who are His servants? In the discharge of our duty in following conscientiously the path of righteousness, there will be at times an apparent failure to accomplish the work we hope to succeed in doing, because human hearts are often tempted and deceived to turn away from the truth of God to fables. It is with a spirit of humility that every soul must work as the human instrumentality God employs. In our communications with one another, there will be those who learn of Christ's meekness and lowliness of heart, and will frankly receive advice and counsel, and consider prayerfully every position made that does not harmonize with our own ideas and opinions and plans. In the spirit of Jesus Christ, we must work and patiently search the Scriptures. For there are those who reject advice and are not subject to counsel, who feel provoked at the words of the messengers sent of God, because the words spoken do not coincide with their feelings and plans. They are in positive danger of becoming headstrong and obstinate, and although convicted, they will not yield to reason, or to advice and wise counsel. What reserve force has the Lord that He could employ to correct any wrong feelings or wrong judgment of those who will never allow themselves to be in the wrong, and have ever on hand an unhappy store of reasons to justify their own course of action, as numerous as they are deceptive and dangerous? He who will not be advised and counseled is in danger, for he will not receive the counsels of heaven, and will be hopelessly wrong unless his own spirit will change. He will look upon others as all wrong and not to be trusted, and there is no chance for his improvement and to be set right, for he reasons he cannot see the necessity for it. Every man and woman must be teachable. Christians will have self-control. Christians will consider and will be wise to contemplate and fear that their own course may not be perfect while they think they see so much to accuse and condemn in others. See James 3, verse 13 and onward. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. Verses 13-14. Plain words indeed, because the truth enthroned in the heart softens and subdues the soul, sanctifies the character, elevates and ennobles, and purifies the soul. They have that faith that works by love and purifies the soul from every species of selfishness, and is preparing the spirit, the character, by beholding the self-denial, the self-sacrifice, the meekness, the purity and holiness of the life of Christ. They become Christ-like, one with Christ in spirit and character as Christ was one with the Father, and they are bearing the test and pruning of God, whether they will be found worthy to compose the members that are God's own family above. Verse 15. This wisdom descendeth not from above, that leads to alienation and difference and strife and contention, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Verses 15-18. In the night season, I was in earnest conversation with you in regard to the things I have written you. I said, Brother Wessels, can you hope to have success and imparted divine wisdom when you are robbing God of that which is His own in tithes and offerings? Here is where you should be in these vital questions, afraid of yourself, jealous of your sacred responsibilities before God. You have His word, plain and direct, in Malachi. Please read a plain, Thus saith the Lord. Do not, my respected brother, come to the Word of God and read it in the light of your own ideas, but bring your own ideas and practices to the Word of God to be corrected and cut away by the sword of the Spirit of truth if need be. Do not be seeking to devise a means to blunt the edge of the sword of the Spirit. Mingle not, my dear brother, your ideas and your prejudices with the truth of heavenly origin, and neutralize the force of the truth in your practice. I beg of you, my brother, to not in the least degree seek to evade the word directly, and plainly speaking to you, because you cherish ideas that your brethren are not all perfect according to your measurement.
How can an imperfect human agent be a judge of the imperfections of his brethren? The Bible is not a book which will justify our own opinions and practices. We must bring every thought and action to the Word. Oh, let not one word or any practice of yours countenance any living soul in any practice that will bring the curse of God most assuredly upon their souls. Let not, my dear brother, in these last days, act any part in bringing perplexing confusion, which will obscure any question where eternal interests are involved. Will you not critically consider the time in which we are now living, when the masterly working of the deceiving power of the archenemy of Christ is leading men to corrupt the Word of God because their natures rise up against its requirements? They skillfully occupy golden moments lent them of God and talents of influence entrusted to them to be employed in the service of God, to blend their own imaginations and systems with the truth of Scripture, and bewilder the minds of those who have not a rich experience in divine things, that the power of distinguishing between the true and the false, between the Word of God and the crafty interwoven teachings of men, may be confused. Look well and see how the adversary first sowed his tares to mingle with the wheat, which will continue to be until the reaping of the harvest. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. Isaiah 50, verse 11. My brother, cling to the cross of Calvary. Oh, do not be found committing robbery toward God in tithes and in offerings, lest ye be cursed with a curse. If the Lord has honored you with large entrusted talents of means, do not allow your integrity to flinch in the slightest degree. Show before God that you acknowledge all as His own, to be returned back the portion which He claims in tithes and in offerings, and build up the Redeemer's kingdom in this world, in wise appropriation of the Lord's capital. Because of the large amount entrusted, we have in our experience seen men decidedly change in spirit and in practice, and embezzle their Lord's entrusted capital, and after God had tried and tested them, in the books of heaven was registered, weighed in the balances of the heavenly sanctuary, and found wanting. Daniel 5, verse 27. Let not this be the case with you. I implore you for Christ's sake to be found a faithful steward. May the Holy Spirit guide us with wisdom that is not our own, and keep us that not one of those who profess to believe the truth shall handle the Word of God deceitfully. We want to discern the meaning which He who gave the truth would convey. You speak of the colored line. Bear in mind there is no color or caste of distinction with God. I think I gave Elder Robinson a testimony in regard to this matter. Please ask him to let you see it. Copy it if you choose. Your time is precious in the sight of God. You can test for yourself if you wish to build up separate interests and not blend with the workers chosen of God. Do you desire in your heart to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? If you do, you need have no perplexity as to the way you shall proceed, for among a multitude of counselors there is safety. But we have a sure word from the highest throne which says, If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. James 1, verse 5-7. The Bible is the infallible Word. I have sent to Elder Robinson special articles for the benefit of the people wherever he may labor. Please pay special attention to that subject on tithing, and on gifts and offerings, and hear, as for your life, what saith the Lord to His servants. In regard to your donating for the Lord's missionary work in Australia, I thank you in the name of my Master, but if this be grudgingly given, I beg of you not to send $1. It is only the free will offerings that count with God. I know we are in dire necessity. I am working with all the power that the Lord sees fit to impart, as the ambassador of Jesus Christ. I have set before you the great and pressing necessity in this country. This it was my duty to do. I have invested $1,000 to start the school, and donations of money sent to me for my own use of $100, $50, and $45 which I have invested to educate youth to improve their ability, that they could do better service for the Master. Yet I carry a debt of $10,000 upon which I am paying interest, and as long as I keep the interest paid, they are willing I shall use the principal. After straining every nerve and studying every plan to raise money for the school, I was in the night season laying the matter before you, Brother Wessels, and was saying, Could you know one half of the necessities we are in, you would feel that here is opened before you a steward of the Lord's entrusted talents, an opportunity to help us build a house of worship. I am unable to labor in the halls in Melbourne. The effluvia of the outhouses pollute the places where the people assemble to worship God. And how can God be honored? Certainly he has money somewhere to change this order of things. We cannot get the people to come to these dirty halls to hear the truth. And what shall we do to warn the people in Melbourne? The gold and silver are the Lord's, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. Haggai 2, verse 8, Psalm 50, verse 10, Isaiah 40, verse 16. If I were hungry, saith the Lord, I would not tell thee. Psalm 50, verse 12. I know that the Lord will send help if you refuse. The Lord will honor some of his servants to be laborers together with God in this great work. I love your soul. I can and will apply to your mother through you. Will you read her this? Will you ask her to help us to get the work started here in Australia? Will you do what you can for us? I consider your name has been singled out by the Lord for me to make application to you. I have done this. Our necessity is great. May the Lord impress your heart and convict you of your duty to help us, for I know not where else to apply. You speak of our visiting Africa. Oh, how gladly would I do this if the Lord will give me strength, and if he says, go. I long to visit your mission, and long to see the work of God advancing, widening, and broadening. But, my brother, I counsel you to walk closely with God. You speak of their getting an organ for the church in Battle Creek, and that the money thus expended had better been given to missionary enterprises and the building of needed meeting houses, which would have been more consistent with our faith. My brother, I have sent to Elder Robinson a copy of a letter that I have written to Battle Creek in regard to this matter. Ask him to read it, to you, or let you read it. I have no more to say at present. We are nearing the great day of God. Now, the present now, is the time to work. For the night cometh wherein no man can work. All the heavenly intelligences are waiting the cooperation of the human agents with the divine agencies. Work with God. Be faithful to render to God his own in tithes and in offerings. He calls upon you. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Malachi 3, verse 10. Take God at his word. Act your part with unswerving fidelity, and you will receive. Your faith will be strengthened. Doubts and perplexities will be removed. Your fears will be overborne by assurances. You will be armed and strengthened to fight the battles of the Lord, and you may have unclouded views of your acceptance with the Beloved. As you value the favor of God, as you declare the light of his countenance, as you desire to grow in grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, be a doer of the word. Walk in the light while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. Jesus said to his disciples, Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy might be full. John 16, verse 24. Our Jesus hath risen. In triumphant voice he proclaimed above the rent sepulchre of Joseph, I am the resurrection and the life. John 11, verse 25. And what is Jesus now doing? He ascended on high, and he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. He is presenting his own blood each moment before the mercy seat in behalf of his ransomed people. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. The blood of Jesus is pleading with power and efficacy for the backsliders, the rebellious, and the iniquities committed against so great light and love.
Satan stands at your right hand to accuse you, and your advocate stands at God's right hand to plead for you. He has never lost a case committed unto him. You may trust in your advocate. He pleads his own merits in your behalf. Hear his prayer before entering upon his betrayal, his trial. Listen to his prayer, for he has you in remembrance. He will not forget his church in the world of temptation. He looks upon his tried and suffering people. Here Jesus is praying, "Let every word be engraven on the tablets of the soul. Now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world." John 17, verse 11, 15, 18. "That they may be partakers with me in self-denial, self-sacrifice, and my sufferings." Yes, he beholds us in the world, which is all seared and marred with the curse, a persecuting world, and we need all the divine resources of his sympathy and of his love. Within the veil, our forerunner hath for us entered, and he is linked with his people in the closest sympathy by the golden chain of love and truth. The most lowly, the most oppressed and suffering and tried ones, he maketh intercession for you, and pleads with his upraised hands, "I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands," and the infinite God loves to hear and respond to the pleading of his Son. Hebrews 4, verse 14 to 15. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Look, O look, to the open door which God hath opened, and no man can shut. Jesus Christ, exalted to be a prince and a savior, to give repentance unto Israel and forgiveness of sins. And will he not, with these costly mercies, freely give us all things? The full promise is ours. God will not falsify his word. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you." John 14, verse 18. Do not unhinge your soul from God by unfaithfulness and unbelief. Only believe, only be a doer of the word, and you touch every perfection of his being. You are one with Christ, as he is one with the Father. "Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory." John 17, verse 24. Oh, what a request! What tender, inexpressible love is in this petition! How the head longed to have the members of his body associated with him! Having had fellowship with him in his sufferings, he will not be satisfied with anything less than that they shall have fellowship with him in his glory. This he claims as his right. Revelation 1, verse 12 to 18. "And I turned to see the voice which spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth, and was dead, and, behold, I am alive for evermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death." Verses 16 to 18. Oh, why are the human agents so ready to yield to temptation, so irresolute in purpose to carry out in practice the Word of God? Why so feeble in action? Why is the glory of Jesus so dimly seen, his preciousness so little felt, his love so imperfectly experienced? Every physical and mental power is surrendered to God. Let this be your prayer, Lord, show me thy glory. Exodus 33, verse 18. If you see not the Redeemer's glory by faith on earth, you will never see it in its inexpressible fullness in the heaven above. Brother Wessels, God has a work for you to do, but you must be divested of self before you can do this work. Deceptions are taking hold on human minds, but walk in the light, while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. John 12, verse 35. In much love to your wife and children, I remain your sister in Christ Jesus.